You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
It pisses me off every time. I know it's coming, but it still gets me. iPhone hits me last night with, hey, update your iOS.
Oh,
you know what's coming.
Oh,
you know what's
no.
coming. I have
been,
to do it.
I've been fighting it. I've been fighting it. I'm the guy who doesn't do the update.
Yeah. Until you don't update your apps either.
Manually does it. Or sorry, until it like automatically does it in the middle of the night one day.
Nope.
When the ghost of Steve Jobs comes in and is like, Sam, it's time. Yeah.
So I am the opposite. I update my apps every Monday morning. I update my iOS whenever it comes out. And I did it. And now it's just like kind of laggy when I go from app to app, when I sign out, like when I move the app.
You just want to make your iPhone great again, don't you?
That's all I want to do.
Welcome to Light Years.
Welcome to Light Years, where I need a recommendation on the next iPhone. They're telling me to get rid of the apps. So.
You know, anyway. It's because I feel like we're both children of immigrants who have the stereotype of being good with technology. And there's no, you can only fight age so long. At some point, you're not my washed level with technology. Like, you laugh at me with tech, but you're getting there.
I'm mediocre at best. I bought a printer.
You're trending in the wrong direction. You're like,
bad.
You're like Draymond Green here. You keep telling me you can like dial it back. You can, you can go back to your old days or you could troubleshoot anything, but the reality,
we're not even 5 minutes in.
The reality is you're living off of your reputation.
Oh my God. 5 minutes and this guy's bringing up Draymond being washed. On the list today. No Draymond on the list.
Oh, I'll find a way.
No Draymond.
But we got to start with, before we get to today's episode, shout out KJ with Blue Wire.
Yeah, KJ's living right now. He's on Twitter celebrating. He's tagging. He's posting. Baron Davis. Wow. So not only is he a part of Blue Wire now, like investing,
we're going to be putting out some pod series. So looking forward to the cross promotion, just kind of all the cool things. I don't want to disclose everything I know. I know you can't either. But one thing that is public is he's going to do a point guard series. So I'm like excited for him to, sit down with Dame, sit down with Steph, sit down with Russ, all these people, hopefully all of them. And kind of just, I feel like my favorite thing with sports is when you get athletes talking candidly about the like tactical finer points of the game. Like, you know how NBA TV does open court, and some of it's goofy, some of it's this, but like, you do get some really interesting points in those conversations that you would never get in another setting. And
I think uh, I think the goal is all the smoke. It's like that version of all the smoke. You're right. We can't get, even if we get Russell Westbrook on, for some reason, he comes on. We're not going to get him to talk about basketball the way BD is going to get him to talk about basketball. We just don't get basketball like that. Or we just don't have the clout that BD does, right? Respect and all that stuff. So it'd be cool.
It's just a different conversation. And from a Warrior fan perspective, I mean, for a non-active player, I can't think of someone I would want more than Baron Davis, you know? Like,
is he the most beloved?
The most beloved Warrior who's retired? Anyone under the age of 40? I guess if you're in your mid 40s or 50, you probably feel that way about like Run TMC. And if you're like a friend of the show, J. Richard Goodman, you know, real OG, and you saw Rick Barry and Al Attles and Nate Thurmond, maybe you feel it's one of those guys, right? But for you and me under the age of 40, Baron's pretty much the coolest outside of any of the current guys.
I think he might be even cooler than all of the current. Cause I mean,
cooler. Yes. You know, like evoking emotional response. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, nobody beats Steph, right? No, nobody's higher than Steph from that perspective. And then champions Clay, Draymond, so all those guys. But no, the point is, I think the point for me is like BD is so, I just never heard anyone say a bad thing about Baron Davis. You know, they never won a title. They never got past the second round. They never won anything, but it doesn't matter. It's just, there's no,
you know how I know we believe Warriors was truly special. People who aren't Warrior fans talk about them. They have that, like, certain teams have kind of like a, just a nostalgic, like coolness, whatever. Like, you know how we talk about like the Steve Nash Suns. You're not a Suns fan. I'm not a Suns fan,
well, that's my favorite
but we
player,
remember
right, yeah.
watching them. They were cool. You know, for me, the 02 Sacramento Kings with Chris Webber that almost beat the Lakers. Yesterday, they were showing replays of 2001, the Sixers, Iverson's MVP year. That's got like a little like reverence for me. But like in terms of Warrior teams that resonate for non-Warrior fans, outside of the title teams are always going to resonate. We believe, like, I have friends who are Laker fans who are like, oh, they were so cool. I have friends who are like fans of random team, like, oh man, that was a fun squad.
That was, and the crowd played a part into it. The other thing too is that 15-16 Warriors team, they didn't win a title. Now that was part of the dynasty, but that might have been the coolest season, like singular coolest season.
I mean, we can get into that later, but like there was just once it seemed like they could make a run at 72, you're just not going to get a basketball season where all 82 games matter that much. Like it was event viewing.
Well, we haven't, right? We haven't. I don't know if we're ever.
But not even before. Like before, I've watched some great teams win in the 60s, and they're like locked in and solid, but it doesn't have the same feel.
No, that's why to me that team, like despite the fact that they didn't win a title, is like how you're saying about We Believe. It's still talk about that team forever, and they were 2-3 minutes away, possessions away from immortality. We are not going to talk about 2015-16. I apologize for bringing that up, but
we got some interesting topics today. The Warriors have blessed us with content, maybe not the best content, but but they made the news. So we're recording this Monday night, June 8th. Bob Myers had a conference call today, and most of it was normal, but there was one quote here which you know, Twitter didn't like. And so I'm just going to read it back to you, and you tell me your first thoughts. Okay.
Yeah.
On a conference call with Warriors GM, Bob Myers has an opening statement on George Floyd's murder. "I hope sports can heal. One of my favorite parts of sports is it's colorblind and a meritocracy of sorts. You don't get judged by how you look. You get judged by how you perform."
You know, you would think after a few days, a week of social media and reading everything that everyone's been saying, you would think that the Warriors, who's relatively pretty social media friendly, would have come up with something better than this. I'm shocked Right.
A little more awareness. You would have expected the organization to have a little more awareness. They've usually been very PR savvy.
Correct. What, and Raymond Ritter is really good. What Bob Myers personally feels, I don't know if that matters because I don't think that's different from anybody else in that position, especially a Danville guy. Somebody told me that. To me, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, who was in charge of telling this guy what to say? Because somebody was. Somebody was. Yeah. He wasn't out here just spewing.
To me, I'm not even going to question Bob. He's never given anyone any indication to think he's like a malicious or, you know, poor thought guy. But like, it does come across tone deaf when you kind of see what's gone on in the country the last week plus, reflect on hundreds of years of history. I get what he's saying at its core. Yeah. At its core, like, Andy doesn't care what I play like. If I can hoop, he wants me on his team, right? But it's just kind of trying to deviate from the message and everything going on. Maybe it's just tone deaf. Tone deaf is the, I don't even want to say the best way to put it. It just is the way to put it.
Steve Kerr is tweeting every hour. He's a damn near social activist out here. He's tweeting every hour about this stuff.
Facebook, so like, dad, Steve.
You know, it's like, what are you doing? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Juan Toscano-Anderson. They're protesting. They're marching. It's like, Bob, what are you? By the way,
I'm sure those guys do not question Bob. Would be my guess. Like, they know Bob's a sincere guy who's thoughtful, but they probably rolled their eyes when they saw that statement too.
The most, I would say, emotionally intelligent guy in the front office, maybe on the team, maybe in the org, and. It just surprised me. I don't know if I'm disappointed. I don't really care. It's just like, what are you?
I would have expected him to have a little more awareness for the moment, if that's how you feel. Because I do get the sentiment. The sentiment is, it's a simple one. It's not a nuanced sentiment, but it's kind of like there is a sense of community you get when you watch sports. And there's kind of like, you know, I mean, we were arguing about Draymond before, but like, yeah, the point stands. Like, you kind of just are going with, do they win or do they not? You know, nothing like that. It's just not an appropriate statement at this time. You know, Bob's built up enough goodwill that I'm not necessarily going to hold it against him long term, but it's just kind of like, I would expect better from the Warriors organization when they know at minimum, even if people in the organization don't feel that way, they should know what is smart and what is not smart to say.
He tried the Disney approach. He tried the kumbaya, the everybody's happy and get along. It's like, listen, man, it's 2020. That's not what we do now. That's not a thing. That's not going to fly. So, disappointed, but, you know, like, he's a rich white guy from Danville. I don't know what people expect. People are going to get pissed about it. It is what it is. It sucks.
Is he going to wear the Democratic leadership dashiki?
I woke up this morning and
apologize for 9 minutes.
I woke up this morning. I'd expected you to throw a lot more text at me about it.
I had a meeting at 7:30 this morning, which is the worst way to start a Monday. But anyway,
right. It was just I thought I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm surprised Sam didn't have a million things. It's just ridiculous. I mean, just classic. But that's Twitter. That's life, you know.
Can we say one thing on that and then move to basketball? You know, I always feel like uncomfortable if we should delve away from basketball, because people listen to this more to, you know, hear us talk hoops, which is fine. But I will say, okay, you're not black, I'm not black. We are both minorities. Someone's running on my roof. Anyway, I apologize. It reminds me of when someone who's not Iranian tries to express like a traditional Iranian cultural sentiment to me or speak to me in Farsi, and it comes across very patronizing. And, it's not that I think there's ill will or anything with it, but the first thing I thought of when I saw it was like, I kind of rolled my eyes. I'm like, that's so patronizing. And like, I've had God knows how many experiences in my life of like well-to-do people doing something like that. And it's like, do you really think this is going to connect? Like the way you connect with someone is to treat them like a normal person where you're not, you know, it's just like, you know, like I don't like
that. Yep.
Yeah.
I hear exactly what you're saying because I personally don't deal with police brutality. I've never dealt with it. The only time a cop,
and I would never tell anyone how to feel about that because I can't speak to that experience.
But the part where I've had a guy come up to me, it's just classic, well-meaning, like that Get Out scene where it's like, I would have voted for Barack Obama twice.
Three times.
I love Chinese food. Right. Three times. I love Chinese food. It's like, I don't give a shit if you love Chinese. Like, just ask me for your recommendation for Chinese food. It's like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, I don't personally.
That actually reminds me of the last season of Curb.
Right.
You know, the restaurant. Actually, you know. Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, Larry David's not a racist, but the guy just, he's tone deaf, I guess.
Wheel
it back in. It's just tone deaf. It's like, dude, come on. People get offended, but again, it's like we're Asian. I'm Chinese, you're Persian. So like, we don't deal with nearly as much. So we don't get as angry about it. We just like, it just rolls off. So Bob Myers, figure it out, man. Go apologize. Do your thing. Do your Drew Brees. And then spend the luxury. Go get some good players. That's honestly.
All right. So yeah, let's move to hoops then. So one thing Bob did say today was, and I'm gonna pull up the exact quote right now. Oh, new computer. It's just so nice to not have things take forever to load. He said, doesn't know if the Warriors will spend the TPE. The direct quote.
Okay, while you pull that up, is there strategy in that? Is there even like a point in saying that? Right?
Bob Myers says he doesn't know if ownership will allow him to go all in with spending this offseason TPE, taxpayer mid-level exception. I think there's for sure strategy. One is, if you're just thinking about from Bob's point of view, fans can't get mad at him if he has a budget put on him. They will take the anger to a level above him. You know, Bob can say, I have a budget, I can't go over it. And then the fans will be like, Joe Lacob, you charged me $8,000 a seat for a ticket. What do you mean you're not spending the tax? You know? So just from a self-serving way, there's a benefit.
Sam the cynic sees it that way. And I tend to agree. He's covering his ass. I think Steve Kerr does the same thing. Where he'll push it. He's not blaming it on Lacob, and Steve Kerr doesn't blame it on Myers, but you can always see them kind of pushing, evading a little bit of the blame, right? So I can see Bob Myers doing that.
The second part of it is temper fan expectations. Maybe Joe Lacob wants to temper the expectations because he knows that they're not going to be able to, you know, acquire, I don't know, Giannis or something this summer. And he wants fans to be a little more realistic with what they can do. Like, people just assume because they have a $17 million TPE, they can just find a $17 million player. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of it's managing expectations. I think that's 100% part of it.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I think that's similar to what Steve Kerr did at the beginning of the regular season by saying that.
The sad boy tour.
That was annoying. This I don't mind when I saw that because here's what I think. I think end of the day, worst comes to worst. I think in this scenario where you have to choose, I think Joe Lacob's choose has been every single time.
Right.
History says it. Track record says it. His will that he always talks about, no motivation to compete, says that he's going to spend money and he has the money. So I think I read somewhere, it might've been on The Athletic, that the Warriors are still one of the few franchises that are making money. They're not the Houston Rockets. They're not the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I mean, they spent a lot to build the arena. They got a lot of money out of it. And so there's a lot at stake, but ultimately they're in better financial situation than a lot of teams.
Yeah, right. Like, who do you think's in a better situation than the Warriors financially? Lakers?
The Knicks. Owning MSG, right, with it mostly paid off, just printing money with a low payroll right now. I mean, just financially, the Knicks are in a no-lose situation. Now, they never win, but but
Dolan's the fucking worst.
The point stands. You know, it's nice to print money and not have debt. So,
it's really only those teams, right? Like those teams in the largest markets that the Warriors are maybe not financially as well off, but they're elite. Financially, they're elite. They're one of the top.
They're
five,
in the upper tier. You know, they're teams in the upper that are pretty, tier. Yeah. Yep. And they can afford
it won't cost
to you years financial loss because they know they can make it up. So
I did see $180 million though, Sam. $180 million.
The bigger question is, so what Warrior fans should really be hoping for is some sort of smoothing or if the cap drops, the Warriors are screwed. Not just for Joe Lacob's tax reasons, for like if you had hopes of flipping Wiggins into other players, that's not happening if the cap drops $20 million. You know, Wiggins' contract is already deemed a bad contract. How bad is that going to be if the cap goes down 15%? You know,
I mean, it was deemed like top five worst contract in the NBA. So if you're dropping the salary cap, you know, 40%,
anything really. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I think we're all hoping we could that, you know, with the addition of Steph and Clay and some coaching, Wiggins can be a good player, maybe not a $30 million player, but a solid player, right? None of that will even matter
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Like, let me ask you this. Do you think if the Warriors could use a trade exception on Andrew Wiggins? You know, let's say they don't have anybody at the spot. They have a hole in the wing spot. You think they would just you would just bring Andrew Wiggins on for the $17 million trade exception? Let's say Wiggins has a $17.2 million contract, right? So I would say he's around there in terms of his value.
Yeah, I mean, if you get him playing defense like he's capable of on his good games, so not that he's shown consistency, but like we've all seen him play good defensive games. We just haven't seen him play good defensive seasons, right? If you get that plus what he does offensively, which is like, it's solid, it's above average, but it's not anything amazing. That's being a wing player. That's worth 20, you know, Barnes got 22. That's not really an overpay for a wing who gives you 20, who can create a little bit and can defend multiple positions. It's just the nature of the position. Every time anyone asks me how much, why do they make that much? I say, list how many wings can create their own shot and guard multiple positions. It's like 10
players. Look, man. Yeah. Well, look, if you're a DN, you can get 8, 9, 10 sacks, getting 20 mil. You know, D Ford can't stay healthy. I don't care. Give him 20 mil.
D Ford's a second tier DN. Like, he's good, but he's not Vaughn. He's not Khalil Mack. He's not Nick Bosa. But like by virtue of the value of the position and the fact that he is good, can, you know, as long as his leg doesn't fall off, he's going to get paid.
He's going to be good.
Good. It's more of a health thing, but I mean, like, yeah, he's not, not to transition to football, but like Bosa better against the run, you know, he's just a speed guy.
Well, yeah. Like he's a third down. I mean, hopefully he's not just a third down guy. Let me take
He's that better back, than that. But like the point is, you know, those upper tier guys can do everything, like a Khalil Mack.
Who did he get traded for? I know he,
couple picks
played on the team. Yeah.
He actually didn't have a good year last year, but whatever. He's had two defensive player of the year seasons. He's allowed 1 year off.
Yeah, Khalil Mack.
Anytime you win two, you can have one bad injury riddled year in exchange.
Yeah, Jeremy
only has one, so you know he's one for one with defensive player of the years and years he's taken off.
I'm not even gonna get into it. I'm not doing Draymond today. You know what we're doing? You know what we are doing? What's next? Giannis. Should we do Giannis?
Or should we do an ad read?
Oh, that's right. All right, let's do an ad read. BetOnline is back. There is no short of action going on at our exclusive partner, BetOnline. NASCAR is back. bet on. By the way, NASCAR had a whole Black Lives Matter video, which NASCAR of all fucking sports. So good for them. Bet Online has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get on. Get it on. Get in on. You can throw a bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. But UFC is already back. NFL will be back, and NBA is coming back so soon. Or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, March Madness style NFL simulation tournament. You can enter for free. In live right now on Bet Online's YouTube channel, you'll find an exclusive interview with ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges to discuss the MJ doc on what they're calling the final dance. Visit betonline.ag, use promo code BLUEWIRE, receive your new welcome bonus, check out all the action. Bet Online, your online wagering solution. What are the odds that Giannis gets traded this offseason, Sam, to the Warriors?
Very low, in my opinion. I don't think it's happening this offseason, but it's always in the cards for the future.
Yeah, but he's a free agent, right? Next offseason, so.
I think he's got a better chance of being traded in a sign-and-trade afterwards. But let's move this forward. We don't know how this season will play out. We don't know if things will get super uncomfortable. Maybe the Bucks have a terrible meltdown. Maybe Chris Middleton cusses him out on the sideline like Draymond Green. These are all potential scenarios, either here or there. There was a conversation on NBC Sportsnet between Grant Lifman and Tom Haberstroh, friend of the show, Tom.
Yeah,
we've done live shows. We've done live shows with Tom.
Tom's great.
No, I don't like Grant. I'm just kidding. Yeah, love you, Grant. Great. I know you're listening. What I was gonna say is to get to the crux of it. Tom kind of alluded to the fact that if you have to trade Clay to get Giannis, you do it. Some people didn't like that. Seemed there was Warrior fans. Actually, a lot of Warrior fans did not like that. And it culminated with sideline reporter Kareth Burke saying, "I completely understand Tom Haberstroh's argument, and reject it. Clay's an excellent two-way player, a walking heat check, every player's favorite teammate, and he's been real about being a Warrior for life. Expect the Warriors to honor that. Don't trade your soul."
Sam, I know it's going to want to talk about why it's a good idea to trade him, but for me, I understand. I think I understand where fans are coming from. It's just he's Clay Thompson.
I know you wanted Matt Cain to get another $100 million.
I'm okay with that. Look, I'm a sentimental guy. I get it. I get where fans are coming from. I also think if they do this, and if it offers on the table, they do it. If they do it, I think that fans, they're not going to be pissed. I don't think they're going to be pissed. I think they're just going to be like, oh, like it sucks, blah, blah. The moment you see Giannis Antetokounmpo in a Warriors jersey next to Steph Curry, though, that's when it's going to be very quick. Very quick. Where, hey, I get you wanted Clay. You wanted to keep Clay. You're going to say all these things. But the moment you see those two guys in a jersey and they're going to win 55 games every season for the next 6-7 seasons, yeah, I think they'll be fine. Not to say that they won't do that with Clay, right, and Draymond, but it's just you've got a higher shot. It's just the ceiling. That's just a lot higher with Giannis, and that's obvious.
Yeah, so it's like I want to run through some things here. One, no one wants to trade Clay. Let's make that abundantly clear. The dream is to have Giannis play with Steph and Clay. But we all have a lot of dreams which don't come true. So the question is,
that's why we're podcasting.
If the only way to attain Giannis involves trading Klay Thompson, do you do it? And my answer is yes. You obviously offer everything under the sun before that. But let's get to brass tacks. Brass tacks is like, we're out of here. You either give us Klay or we're trading him to Boston for Jaylen Brown. You do it.
Why we bring up Draymond and Jaylen Brown every podcast without fail.
Shout out Jaylen Brown, one of my favorite players in the NBA.
He has been amazing.
But the reason I bring him up is Boston probably feels Tatum's untouchable, but push come to shove, they can get Giannis under contract they'd rather, you know, they like Jalen. They don't love him that much, though. You know,
no, Jalen's gone.
And he's their second best asset. Let's be real. Like, Kemba's not getting it done. Marcus Smart's not getting it done. Gordon Hayward's not getting it done. You're giving up one of the wings. So it's just an easy. I don't even know if Boston would do it, but it's just like an easy example of like the type of package the Warriors would have to beat to make a deal, right?
And that package beats what Boston would give them. And
I think so, particularly when the Warriors have better, especially when they have better picks to sweeten it with. You know what I'm saying?
Minnesota. Thank you, yeah. Minnesota. The gift that keeps on giving. Okay. I don't understand the argument outside of sentimental value for Clay over Giannis. I don't understand it. So I'm not even going to entertain it unless you have something, right?
It is sentimental value. And one thing I will say is I'm not as confident as you the Warriors will be contenders if they don't get someone like Giannis, like if they run back the core next year. And
I make a lot of
forever Giants jokes, and they're, I mean, it's just fun because I do appreciate the sentimentality that Giants fans and Warrior fans have for their players, right? Like, it's fun to make fun of it, but like ultimately what you want is a fan base to feel connected to the players, right? I do worry that Warrior fans think they can just, you know, if they add a couple vet pieces, they can just roll back 2015-16. And you and I might differ on this, but I am not as confident that that's possible for multiple reasons. And the biggest one being, I don't know that I believe Steph's body can handle the load he had to carry back then going forward. I think if you run out a team where you expect Steph to average 30 every night,
all right, so
it's going to be – it reminds me of – this is where it does remind me of the Giants. It reminds me of the Giants asking Buster Posey to do everything in the lineup as he kept getting older when you're like, dude, okay, he can be the best defensive catcher and he can – he's still a good hitter, but, like, he can't do everything. And at some point, you got to put more around him or he's just going to – his body's going to give out.
All right, so a couple things. I agree, but not next year. I agree, but not next year, right? I think they have enough in the
tank. Do you think I'm looking too far down the road? Do you think I'm in like 2022 or 2023?
Well, I think you are, and I think you're right. I think it's like maybe a season away or two seasons away, but I think if they find the right pieces and run that back. The other thing is they were so far ahead of other teams, right? They were so good that let's say they're not that good, but they're still going to be within that pack of contenders. They're still right there. And that's why I think in the next season and the season after that, if they can find the right pieces around them, the ancillary pieces, they'll be fine. They'll be contenders. But when you're talking about Steph at 34, 35, that's when I'm with you, right? That's when I'm like, okay, you're probably done by then if you don't get players that are going to be good. You can't just run three guys back for, you know, three seasons for now, right? And expect him to
particularly
be
when like Draymond's not a scorer and no one expects him to be one, right? And Clay's Clay. Clay's good at what he does, but he's not a creator. So what we're getting back to is Steph's the only guy who can create a shot off the dribble, and he's the smallest guy on the court. And he has a history of, I mean, quite name a small guard who averaged 30 over the age of 32 on a good team. Like
a comparison for Steph here moving forward is Steve Nash. That's
right, right. Let him be impactful, but don't ask him to be everything.
Right, right. That's the easy comparison. Now, Steve Nash had a really good...
Steve Nash won the MVP at 34, by the way.
Right. And Steph is going to be 33 next season, and he's going to be 34 the season after that. 33 at the end of next season, essentially.
And Steve Nash was absolutely impactful till the age of 37. And he would have been impactful beyond that, but his back gave out. So
I assume that's going to be like that Steph, right? Like he's going to be extremely impactful. And then his body, it's just the guy's 6'3", quote unquote 6'3". Who knows what he really is, right? But
I was watching the video of him hugging Iverson and I just like, he had like 4 inches on Iverson. I was just laughing so hard because I'm like,
I've actually stood
I knew AI wasn't 6 foot. I've seen AI live. You know, he's 6 foot the way your bro who's 5'10 tells you he's 6 foot. But with that said, you're getting to?
Yeah. Sorry, little pause there. But no, I've seen Steph in the locker room. He's I'm 6 feet. He's a little taller than me, so I think 6'3 is kind of accurate. He's just super skinny. He's just like a stick. Or it's like, you know, it's
also 6'3 is just small for basketball. It's a good size for a point guard, but when you run through the history of basketball, like small guards just on high usage don't last long. It's a hard sport. Every time he drives inside, he gets hit by someone the size of Gobert. You know? Like there's diminishing returns to that, right?
Chris Paul is 35.
That's why people overrate size in the draft, because everyone's thinking about when a dude's 20, 35 or 36, like, oh, he'll still be useful. But you know, anyway, that's a different discussion.
I mean, with guys this good, I think you can bet on it. You can bet. Now they have no chance but to bet on it, but you can bet on guys staying this good. Chris Paul's 35. He's having a hell of a year leading the Thunder to the playoffs. So that's one. Steph is better than him. And then he's got 18 months off, right?
He does have a true opportunity to reset his body a little bit. Yep. So
all these guys.
Yeah. So actually, I might agree with you. Next year, at minimum, they have the revenge tour on them. Where their bodies are after that is to be seen.
Yeah.
But I do think revenge tour is, and we'll see what that means. Does that mean they're like a top 2 seed in the West? Maybe. Does it mean they're a 4 seed? Maybe. We'll see. A lot of it depends on what Bob does this summer.
We watched Last Dance and we saw MJ come back and then win 3 titles. And how old was he? Right? Mid-30s? By the time he finished that 6-peat? Or not 6-peat, but the second
3-peat. He was 32, turning 33 the year one of the second 3-peat, which is exactly Steph's age.
But that's MJ. But that's MJ. You know what I mean?
That's a hard to live up to standard. But your point last
season or two.
Yeah, I mean, even if we forget MJ, Dirk was 34 when he won his first title. KG was 33. I mean, a lot of dudes like early 30s to mid 30s is doable to compete. So we'll see. Let's move this forward. What do you want to get to next? Do you want to talk draft or do you want to talk D'Lo?
Fucking Halliburton. We talked about that on the premium. If you guys want to hear our fire draft takes, go hit the premium. Maybe we'll get to it at the end. But let's do D'Lo and then let's do the NBA return. We'll cap it off with the NBA return.
Okay.
Just a small little snippet. I just don't know why this keeps coming up, but basically, it was reported, sort of, friend of the pod, Connor Letourneau, said that some Warriors reportedly were more upset by the decision to trade Glenn Robinson III than D'Lo at the deadline. So I don't know. I don't know if you have any thoughts on it. It's kind of weird. I don't know why it's brought up.
I know they love GR3. GR3 kind of embodies Warrior culture. Steve Kerr loved him. Steve Kerr was upset to lose him. I think they're going to make a real run at him this offseason. Whether they get him, I mean, I don't think they're giving him the mid-level, so he had to take a veteran's minimum. And we'll see if he has better offers or not. You know, it's 50-50. It's hard to say, right? If he's on fire and for Philly in the playoffs, he might have more offers. If he has a terrible playoffs, he might not. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, he kind of has the same attitude guys like Clay and Steph and those guys have. I don't know why they have to take pot shots at D'Lo though.
Yeah.
That's the thing to me. Like, I mean, you hear things about D'Lo. He certainly, his time with the Lakers wasn't the most amazing. and you know, but there's no reason to say it.
Yeah, there's no reason for I don't get it, and that's the part of it where it's just like, look, with the KD stuff, I kind of understand it. I don't know if they're taking pot shots at KD. Part of it's just like he's famous. I mean, he's just great. It's the end of that particular era of Warriors basketball. You're going to talk about it. With D'Lo, it's like I mean, he's not a bad guy. Look, if you don't like the way he plays no defense. He doesn't try there. He's got to play offense his way to be effective. So, yeah, I mean, he doesn't fit.
And we know Kerr doesn't like the way he plays offense, yeah. But there's no reason to – it just makes me – the D'Lo thing makes me worry about them when Steph retires. Like the same way the Spurs look lost without Tim Duncan, where you're like, okay, it works when you have the perfect guy to build around, but are you adaptable when you can't get that guy? But hopefully that's not a problem to deal with anytime soon.
Not yet, but I think the point here is important because look at Glenn Robinson, right? Like he's on the Sixers. He's not really good. Because
he's fine. He's just a rotation dude, though.
But it's like I put Glenn Robinson in last year's Warriors team. You know what I mean? You put him in place of Alphonso McKinney. I don't know.
Right. He's better than McKinney though, for sure.
A lot better.
He's exactly better. What they were hoping McKinney would be.
And so that's part of like, yeah, you like Glenn Robinson, but you like Glenn Robinson because you got Steph Curry and I mean, you got Steph, Clay, and Draymond. So you can afford to love guys like this, but sooner or later, you're going to have to get the next guy. And whether that be whether that be Halliburton or LaMelo or Killian Hayes, right? Is Halliburton not just like maybe a role player?
Maybe.
You can get Hayes, you know? So that's where I'm with you. I'm worried that they end up like the Spurs where they get all these guys that fit. Yeah, they fit around Tim Duncan. Great. What happens when he's gone?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about a friend of the show, Daryl Morey. Do you think Daryl Morey loves a lot of the idiosyncrasies that James Harden forces a team to play with?
Right.
Probably not. He probably wishes Harden maybe worked harder off ball like Steph does, you know? He wishes he did certain things different, but he's who he has, and he's damn good. And he might take a more realist angle at it where it's like, this is the best player I have, and I need to do everything I can to make the team great around him, as opposed to taking the idealist view, which is he doesn't do the things I need, so he must go, you know? Yeah. We can even take it to like it's a very Phil Jackson thing. You know, the triangle works when you have MJ and Kobe. How'd that triangle work with Melo, though? You know?
Every day I am praying that the Warriors find a way to get Daryl Morey. Every day. Every day. That would be the addition that the Warriors front office needs. We didn't talk about this, but a lot of the Bob Myers stuff, it's just like a lot on Twitter of people just say, well, they start trashing on Bob Myers and his draft picks and things like that. You happen to bring up Alan Smilagic when Bob Myers is talking about you don't see color. So I think, you know, maybe they need a little bit more.
Shout out Smiley, by the way.
I don't know if we want to do a shout out Smiley.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been reported, but like obviously when the Warriors got great, they had Travis Schlenk, they had Jerry West, they had Chelsea Lane, they had all these people who all got hired by other teams. And I don't know if they've been replaced properly, you know? Yeah. We'll see.
With us. I can't believe you posted that picture of my hair. All right, while you Well,
people are going to see it when the video comes out tomorrow, either way.
All right. Do we have any other topics? Do we want to talk about the start of the season a little bit?
Yeah, let's get into that.
A little bit of a preview.
Okay. So we officially, the NBA figured out which of their 8,000 proposals they liked. And I'm still a little confused on the formatting. But it's 22 teams. They're going to give some of the teams who are on the cusp an opportunity to fight into the playoffs. They really want the Pelicans to make the playoffs.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Zion's cool. Brandon Ingram, not so bad either. But it's more about Zion. It's funny because Ja Morant's pretty cool in his own right, you know? I get some, like, Steph Dame vibes from Ja Morant where it's like, he might force his way into the star convo, even though he's not the chosen one. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as either of those guys, but like he definitely has that. Like he's a very good player for a rookie. He's excellent.
You don't want to watch Jaren Jackson.
I like Jaren Jackson, but yeah, I mean, I do also get it. Zion is kind of must see TV. It's just a different level.
Zion's must see TV. We get it.
I mean, Zion was the most interesting college basketball player of like the last decade. So
he's about to get Duke. He's about to get Duke reprimanded, though, which is good. Good for him. I hope he snitches. the season itself, I'm excited because we've got 2.5 months before it starts. August 16th. My God, postseason dates. So, but they are playing 8 regular season games, correct? Or 7 regular season games. So we'll get a little.
That is correct. We'll get a little something. And by the way, I do think ultimately regular season games is a good idea because you don't want to go straight to the playoffs. It's going to be ugly basketball with hamstring pulls all over the place. Like, can you just imagine if we got Rockets versus Denver and Philly versus Boston off of a 4-month layoff with stakes on the line? I don't know. I picked those series because they're interesting. But, you know, that's just the type of thing where it's like Russell Westbrook drives way too hard and pulls something. You know, Joel Embiid gets injured because you're asking guys to go from 0 to 100 overnight. And you can say, you know, you're going to try to pace your way into it, but you know how the intensity gets pulled up in those situations. Like, it's hard to fight off the urge to kind of go harder.
Now, I have seen video of Nikola Jokic and Marc Gasol looking like they shed about 25 pounds. So, you know, I don't know. If Nikola Jokic is coming back in peak shape, anything's possible.
But you and I both know.
Denver might win the title.
All these dudes are working out. It's not the same as game shape. It's not. Like, James Harden can run all the hill sprints he wants, and that's good, and it's better than not. But it's just not the same as, like, the you know what it's like when you don't play pickup in a long time and you get out there and you're like, this hurts in some weird places. That is different than when you're running. Different than when you're running. When you're running, like, what would you run today? 10 miles?
Yeah, I did a 10K. Now I went to Great Highway. By the way, terrible wind. It's just too much. You and I play basketball, so you know we get it. Classic.
You just get hurt in different. You get hurt in different ways. It feels different. So
all your mid-30s. Hey, by the way. People are not happy with me with my Houston Rockets take. A little bit of trolling, but also a little bit of, I mean, wouldn't it be fun if the Rockets won the championship this season of all the seasons?
Okay, can I talk about this? The only – so there's a push by NBA media to – it's like boosterism to say whoever wins the title, it's legitimate, no asterisk. But they don't get to decide that. Like the public decides what's valuable and what's not, right? And I truly believe the only titles that people will respect are the Lakers or the Clippers. Hear me out on this one. If LeBron or Kawhi win, people will be like, well, they're the best player. But if someone like James Harden, who has a history of coming up short in the playoffs, wins in this weird, wacky, no-fan tournament in the middle of the summer, people are like, well, that doesn't really count, you know? Do you follow what I'm saying?
I think it's perfect. I agree with you. Now, I'm curious, do you throw Milwaukee in that?
I think it's true of everyone except for LeBron and Kawhi, because LeBron and Kawhi have proven they can win titles in other situations. You know, if KD if the Nets with KD and Kyrie, or like the Warriors with Steph and Clay and all that won, they'd get the same benefit of the doubt that
I don't know about Steph and Clay. No, I hear you. But that's a great point. I think you make a great point. And that's why I think it's perfect that the Houston Rockets win this season. Because there's – look, obviously, me and you, we're not rooting for the Lakers to win the title. You know, we're not. We're just not. People know that. The Clippers
– no, that's the one that's going to get me to send out the struggle. Like, congratulations, but I'm secretly mad.
You're talking about the Clippers? You're saying
– No, the Lakers.
The Lakers.
I'll throw the congratulations and then just, you know, like turn my phone off for 2 days.
Well, with me, well, for 2 weeks until the Warriors get Giannis. But with us, it's always been, hey, look, the Lakers win, LeBron wins, it is cool to see them win because he is great. The problem is what's going to be said on the timeline.
Right, right. That's what I'm getting to, which is I'm not ready for the post Laker LeBron title victory parade.
Yeah, it is too.
The Clippers wouldn't bother me because they don't get enough of victory. Like, there's just not enough people who care to like make it obnoxious.
It's like the Raptors. It's like the Raptors.
Yeah, it's like you got a dozen people telling you how great they are, and you're like, ah, whatever.
nobody gives a shit. Bucks winning would be cool. It would be cool to see Giannis winning a title. I think Houston, just from a just funny, comical level, would be just hilarious. Tillman Fertitta is going to say something stupid. Can you imagine Tillman Fertitta accepting the trophy?
I mean, it makes me think of like my, like, it makes me think of my A's, where it's like, you know, they're always good, but they've never been able to get over the hump. And if they get over the hump in like this weird year, people are just going to be like, yeah, but it wasn't a real title. You know, it's like that kind of like, it's like, it just feels perfect for the team they are.
Tim Kawakami got your owner, the A's, whatever the fuck his name is, to pay the minor.
First off, no one owns me, but your point stands.
All right, man. Go Rockets. We're going to get out of here.
We can get out of here. We can call it a day. All right.
Do you have anything else? I don't know. Do we have any other stuff?
No, we'll throw up some premium. If you did not get in the Discord chat, hit up Andy or me. Some people had some link issues. Other than that, you know, we're getting close to some basketball, and it'll be fun when it comes back.
God. All right, man.
Later.